What's up, everybody? Welcome to Greg Way here on the Kind of Funny membership. It's me, Greg. Greg Wang with you and having a great time. Went and saw Redacted today. Then I came in, did PS I Love You. Great episode. Me and Bless sitting in the chairs. I like that layout. And then I've been heads down on email, getting ready to go to Tampa, Florida tomorrow for the Royal Rumble. But enough about that. Let's read some of your questions. I noticed the Patreon chat had the best questions today, so I'm gathering them all there. Remember, if you want to talk to me, you can, of course, comment on this video. You can leave it on the chat. You can leave it on the Patreon post. You can leave it on the YouTube video. I already said the video part, but you understand. Don't worry about it. And remember, I'm going to try to remember to tell Mike to do a Greg Way tomorrow, but I don't have eyes on Mike right now, so I can't yell that at him. I'll Slack him right now. Hold on. We'll make the content. You'll make the things happen in front of you, okay? So I'm opening Slack and I'm going to team and I'm finding the one and only Mike Howard. Hey, can you do a Greg Way tomorrow? I did the thing where I tried to put in the question mark, but I put in a carrot instead. Fuck. Fuck. All right, let's see what's going on here. Danny Rodriguez says, not sure if this would be a good question, but I've been wondering what would the games industry have to do to survive? Obviously, games will keep on advancing in many ways, but with that comes price increases. So what do gaming companies have to do in order to avoid crunch and put out an amazing product? I mean, prices of games will continue to rise, so that would alienate a lot of homes who couldn't afford the next-gen consoles. So what needs to happen? Well, Danny, I believe if I could answer this, I'd be a very rich man and king of the video game industry. So I can give you guesses as to what needs to happen, but I don't know if I can be the one to tell you how the games industry will survive. The long and short of it is, it's not going anywhere. It's incredibly successful, and even though you wrote this 5 days ago, how many thousands of jobs have been eliminated by layoffs since then? I think even with those jobs being eliminated, like I've talked about on the shows, I think it's just more towards what I used to see a lot at IGN in 08, 09, which was staffing up for a project, then the project goes out, you get rid of a bunch of people, which sucks and isn't a great way to do business, but is sustainable for the kind of churn and burn people are doing for games and staffing up, and then you have a bunch of people out there that are hired guns ready to go. There's a lot of stability in that, which sucks. I think stability can come from those developers who get laid off or are in the jobs now, spreading on their wings and doing their own thing, and people being more willing to play indie games. Publishers like Annapurna, Devolver, etc., continuing to support independent developers and give them money to make their games. I think there's a future in that. Same thing with AA games and smaller studios making what they want to make and staying independent that way, right? Where I think shorter games would go a long way. You figure when you're talking about these AAA companies ballooning in size, you can be like, oh my God, I worked at Naughty Dog, Bungie, Xbox, Blizzard for 3 years and I just got laid off in this giant sweeping thing. 3 years sounds like a lot, right? But it was 3 years on one big fucking project that they finally finished, got out, and then eliminated a bunch of jobs for. Which doesn't make it right, but is the idea that if games are shorter and you're able to produce more games and smaller experiences, right, you can then make the money, hopefully, quicker to keep a smaller team, a leaner team ready to go. I don't think, you know, those are the answers. I'm not worried about the games industry not surviving, though. Am I worried about it not thriving? That's a different conversation. You know, I can't imagine being on the outside, being at Full Sail, being in high school, saying you want to go into game development and then seeing this bloodletting of developers and jobs going out the door. Number one, because is that even financially stable for you? Number two, you start thinking about the talent pool that is currently out there competing for the same amount of open positions, let alone the talent pool that's going to leave. You know, the people who are getting laid off of these jobs and then leaving video games and not coming back to video games, right? Like, that's a different ball of wax in terms of how it is. I think as we continue to contract right now, like, I mean, you know, come back to a smaller games industry, smaller developers on something, smaller whatever, like, you'll see teams make do with what they have and then start again expanding again as they move on to different projects and hiring more people up. But it's a terrifying, shitty time right now to be a video game fan, for sure, but I mean, somebody who makes video games, right? And you want the best for the people who are bringing you so much joy, which is I always talk about, right? But here they are just struggling to keep a roof over their head, keep a job, keep a paycheck, keep their benefits. Like, it fucking sucks. So how does the video games industry survive? It'll continue to survive because it is so fucking big and so fucking successful, and there are so many talented people doing it. You know, to see all the layoffs we saw today at Microsoft, Activision, Blizzard, right, Xbox. It's one of those things that shouldn't take away from the amazing work Aaron Flynn's studio is doing on Nightingale, or what Supergiant's doing with Hades. Like, there are plenty of bright spots. It is just these giant corporations that have people above them and people above them, and then stockholders, right, who want to make sure they're getting the best reward for their investment. And that is a fucking shitty way to do anything, because all that worries about is your bottom line and your bank account, rather than the livelihoods of hundreds of thousands of people who depend on you to try to do the right thing. And that fucking sucks. But what needs to happen, Danny? I mean, where do you start? What needs to happen is more independent developers, and I don't mean just like small ones, I mean bigger ones, triple, double A's, people aren't making triple A's. What needs to happen are gamers willing to pay for games and not wait for them to go to Game Pass or wait for them to be on sale, willing to support stuff, willing to support new ideas and new studios. You need CEOs with a fucking conscience who would not go into these things just to eliminate jobs and eliminate all these different things. And you need a lot of stuff going on, and I don't have all the answers, and it sucks, Danny. I wish I did. I wish I could take care of people. But I'll focus on taking care of these 10 jabronis, and we'll go from there. Let's move on to Devin Holbrook. I've wrestled, with how to ask this question, but do you consider yourself a sports entertainment fan or a wrestling fan? I don't want this question to come across as combative or negative, but everything the Kinda Funny crew seems to celebrate or enjoy about WWE appears to be sports entertainment. Nothing can compete with WWE's pageantry, presentation, and legacy, but the wrestling just isn't good. I far and away enjoy the more sports-like/real-world presentation of AEW, New Japan, etc. Ultimately, enjoy what you enjoy, but WWE hasn't been wrestling for a while and proudly states that it isn't. Have you, will you check out some of AEW's best matches to see if you would be into AEW? Well, thank you, Devin. I didn't know that sounded combative at all, but I understand the tightrope you're walking. Yeah, I'm a pro wrestling fan. I'm a professional wrestling fan. But if we're going to get into this, I am more of a sports entertainment fan. I think when you start talking about this, and remove AEW for the conversation, but just talk about me, right? I think back to ECW, right? And when you would see fucking Jerry Lynn and RVD just go at it and give you 5-star classics, right? When you'd see, and this is WCW into WWE into ECW, Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero, right? Go out there and fucking burn the house down, right? Like, that was wrestling. But I think ECW did such a good job of also then giving you the Dudley Boys or Francine or Tommy or the Sandman or whatever. So you're getting a hodgepodge of things going on. I hear you and respect your opinion. I don't think the wrestling just isn't good in WWE. I think that's a bridge too far. I don't think it is what AEW is doing. I've tried to get into AEW. I shouldn't say I tried to get into it. I've tried to consume AEW on several occasions. Obviously, I pay attention to everything. I listen to podcasts. I watch highlights. I watch matches. And for me, the problem with AEW is just that it's just not what I'm looking for. So I do like the drama and the color and the characters and the storylines of WWE. AEW, when I've tuned in before, and again, don't take this as a cutting criticism or anything. This is a uninformed opinion of somebody who's turned it on a couple times and tried to watch a Dynamite or a Collision or whatever it was. But like, I feel like all the wrestlers kind of, what's the broadest fucking stroke I could say right there? When I was watching whatever I was watching, all the wrestlers looked the same. They didn't have gimmicks that stood out to me to make this person differentiate from this person kind of thing. I also am so not a fan of the way they use blood, like the way everybody's fucking bleeding all the time. John Moxley with all the skewers in his head, and you know, just in general, the way they smash up. It reminds me so much of trying to do what ECW was doing, and I'm not the same wrestling consumer I was back when I was watching ECW and fucking, you know, New Jack Blade like a motherfucker or anything like that. AEW just hasn't, nothing I've seen when I consume it has made me go, oh, this is what I want to see. Like, you know what I mean? So it can be the fact that, yeah, they're putting on great wrestling matches. I know they are. It's just the fact that like I want the story to go with it. That's what's getting me in the door. That's what's getting me excited. It is this, you know, finishing the story for Cody. It is Punk doing whatever he's going to do in WWE. It is, you know, just watching people like Pretty Deadly be cool, Alpha Academy fit in their spot, New Day do everything else there. Like, WWE's home, and it just always has been, so you can check in or check out on it. But AEW, and I think the fact they're trying to have, like you say, like a more sports-like slash real-world presentation just doesn't work for me as something as absurd as professional wrestling is, and why I like it. I like it because of the absurd soap opera-ness of it. Katie says, with all the talk about POW World and whether Nintendo can sue for Pokemon likeness slash stealing, I was curious what the rules are around Kinda Funny Games Daily using the Wii background music during the Wii News Channel section. Was that a difficult decision, or is it safe under fair use or something? I'm not really sure how that works. It was a brief. The way Kinda Funny does just about everything in terms of like, can we get away with this using this song or watching this trailer or whatever, is we just do it and then see what YouTube says, because usually it'll, you know, it'll ding you. It doesn't really jump to like you've gotten a strike on your account like Mr. Bucket did to us years ago. Usually it jumps to like, oh, you can't monetize this video. And we haven't had any blowback on that from the Wii Music, so we're not worried about it. It's a little bit, it's a little thing, and if tomorrow it did change, then we just take it out and not worry about it. But since it's such a simple thing, we don't really, not really our concern, Katie. We tried it, it works, we're gonna keep rolling with it. If that changes, we'll dump it. King Vid. Says, Greg, talk about Iron Claw. I would love to, King Vin, but I tweeted about this the other day. I haven't seen it. I have a 2-year-old. Put the fucking movie on demand already. I want to watch it very badly. But if it's not for interview, I'm not getting to a theater. So put it fucking on demand and let me watch it. Thank you very much, Zac Efron. And our final question of the day comes from Grant Burton. Hi, Greg. Has there been any discussion about the timing of certain content to be more inclusive to the audience around the world? As a $25 member, I was looking forward to the first happy hour, only to find out it was being recorded at 11 p.m. UK time, meaning I, and undoubtedly many best friends, can never be a part of it. I understand you guys want and should have 9-to-5 hours, so I'm not suggesting you do anything crazy. Hey, Grant. Yeah, that's been, I think, since the start of Kinda Funny, a not concern, but a thought, of course, that we have many international fans. We love you, Oi Governor. And thank you so much for being there for us. But it is the fact that no matter what we would do, there's never a perfect time for anything. And so we are so entrenched in, cool, Kinda Funny Games Daily at 10, stream right afterwards, that never say never that we won't do a one-off happy hour there, but the way it works, again, for work-life balance and what we're trying to do here, and the sanity of everybody, right, because there's so many people on happy hour, is the idea that it's Kinda Funny Games Daily, it's the stream, it's a lunch break for the streamers, it's email time for everybody else, and then it's the afternoon show. And so, you know, right now, they're doing in review Kung Fu Panda, right? And it's that same idea that, like, you could watch that live right now with your benefits on Patreon or YouTube with a Kinda Funny membership, but if you're in the UK, right, again, it's 11 o'clock right now for you, so it's like, oh, that fucking sucks. It sucks, and I don't want to make it sound like we'll never do something to address it, but it is tough. I'd say let us get our feet under us for the happy hour a few times and make sure we do it and find out how many people on it makes sense and if we're using everybody's time right and yada, yada, yada. And then maybe you'd see us do one where finish games daily, we do a happy hour and then stream after it, or we do the happy hour alongside the stream. But you hit the nail on the head, Grant, that it's a 9-to-5. Like, I want my team to have a work-life balance. And so I'd love to be able to serve every different time zone, but it is impossible. So you just have to make broad strokes for it. And that isn't, you know, the best answer. I wish I could tell you we could just pivot it right away to make it work for you. But that's where we are right now. But we'll keep feeling about it and, of course, feeling it out. We'll keep thinking about it and feeling it out. But I thank you for writing in about it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my final Greg Way of the week. I'm off to Tampa tomorrow, hopefully. Oh, no, Snowbike Mike says, will do. Any special topics you've been covering? Any theme I should stick with? He doesn't know that there isn't one, ladies and gentlemen, but you do. So everybody tweet at Snowbike Mike things you want him to talk about. Until next time, it's been my pleasure to serve you.